Hey, Danger Danger is here with a special Halloween announcement. Part one of our Patreon-exclusive Halloween bonus content will be premiering Wednesday, October 16th. Stick around to the end of the episode after the credits and blooper for a sneak preview of that. Remember, you can access any of our bonus content by signing up on Patreon for just $5 a month, or by volunteering as an episode transcript and wiki writer. Shoot an email to dndarkpodcast@gmail.com for more info on that. That's all for now. Enjoy the show.
Do you like D&D, improv, and a podcast where the DM can't control the player's intrusive thoughts? Well, then Flip of Fate is what you're looking for. This loosely D&D podcast is about four misfits being roped in on an adventure by a wealthy centaur wizard. We also have a three-part Halloween special out now set in the modern world about four teens caught up in a small-town horror. We played that one shot in a simplified D&D system close to the Call of Cthulhu system. Now in our main campaign, we play in D&D 5e. And if you're looking for some nitty-gritty D&D and advanced rule following, you won't find it here. We're just five close friends that enjoy improv and D&D with some chaos mixed in there. So come and check us out. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts at Flip of Fate. You can also find us on all socials, so stop by and say hi. Again, find us and listen to us at Flip of Fate. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your show.
D&D Dark is an absurd, over-the-top comedy horror adventure that is intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark, a comedy horror real play podcast loosely based on Dungeons & Dragons 5e, starring not our usual monsters, but rather some of our favorite NPCs. My name is Jordan, and I am your host and Crypt Keeper.
Hello, I'm Danger Dangers, and I will be playing Marlo Bronte, a vampire College of Eloquence bard who, last session, was kidnapped and forcibly taken into the woods, had a bit of fun tormenting my tormentors, that ultimately resulted in Marlo confronting a few truths about himself, and then ultimately rescuing himself from his own damsel in distress imprisonment. And I will also be playing Maledict Stonecroft, a vampire hunter ranger who, last session, also confronted some inner truths about himself. He rendezvoused with Gonzo and learned about the state of the town, the Hallow Spell, all of the general demonic goings-on, as well as the nonsense with the vampire hunters, and has sort of been coming to terms with his own feelings and closeness to the town, and need to take a step up and assert what is important to himself and where his own boundaries are, which he and Marlo had a bit of a conversation about. It is probably for the best for both of them to take a break, go their separate ways, and both grow as people before progressing any further with their relationship. I am also playing Lady Amelia de Gonzola, a human life domain cleric who, last time, continued to try to get through to Jonathan Harker about the importance of the undead within Stratford and the way that the town's systems and society works, as well as to the town as a whole, and is still in the background, kind of working overtime, trying to save everyone's collective hides while the town argues amongst themselves. But now the demons have come to roost, so time's kinda up.
And with that, we'll jump right into it. The demons are here, and the demons are about to attack. The Hallowed Ground ritual will go off in 5 rounds. Whatever demons are still outside the borders of Stratford will be locked out and unable to enter. Whichever ones are inside Stratford will be incredibly weakened. And because Dan was able to convince the people of Stratford to welcome the undead in their ranks, in their community, they will be unharmed and unpushed from the town.
Otherwise, they would have abandoned ship.
Oh yeah, goodbye.
Yeah. Peace out, guys. Good luck.
And we are ready for the siege on Stratford.
All right, demons, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us.
Yeah.
And then while you're spawning in tokens, just to get ahead of it, Maledict is going to use his special vampire power to summon four wolves.
Ooh. Heck yeah. As the birds are escaping from the trees and the looming presence is here, it's arrived. You see tumbling and barreling out of the bushes, there are these mounds of flesh with eyes and teeth. We've seen these ones before when they were attacking Marlowe. And quickly behind them, there are these horrible humanoid creatures crawling out, their skin twisted and pulled in, horns and fangs and claws sticking out from every direction. These horrible wiggling snake creatures with beaks and claws erupting from their faces. And out through the treetops are fluttering these, they look like horribly mangled human faces with wings coming out the side. And behind them all, there is this abyssal creature that, even with the randomness that things are spat out of the abyss, is built for war. It is a centaured body creature with a tail that ends in a sharp knife-like horn and huge claws on its front hands and horns coming out of its head. Kendra, please describe this demon.
There is an oddly an air of silence with all of the chaos that's going around. Somehow there would be like smoke or fog rolling across the green as the hoof stamps through and you see it swirl and swoosh about and disperse, and the camera pans up and then there's the Armonite. And this centaur monstrosity is trotting along and surveying the land. And for lack of a better term, is hellbent on destruction and chaos and bloodshed by any means necessary.
Brilliant. And you see, there is a lot of that potentially before you.
Editor Dan here. So throughout this episode, we throw around a lot of names of different demons and don't spend a lot of time differentiating between what is what. So here is just a quick little vocab list, bestiary type thing of the different types of demons involved in this. There is the Armonite, played by Kendra in this, that is a centaur-like monster with a face like a hammerhead shark and with a tail that is a knife. That is the Armonite. There are maw demons, which look kind of like yo-yos if in the center they were lined with razor-sharp teeth and they had a whole bunch of spider-like eyes along the side. Those are the maw demons, primarily played by Bailey through this. There are the dretches, also primarily played by Bailey in this. They look kind of like a tapir with the face of a bulldog. Bailey at one point describes it as looking kind of cow-like. They are basically these big, fatty blob monsters that are not quite bipedal, not quite quadrupedal, and do a lot of odor-based attacks, so brace yourself for the fart jokes there. There are Grix, which are primarily played by Grayson in this, which they are like a little snaky worm-like thing with a beak and with flower petals around their heads. They're kind of like the Demogorgons from Stranger Things. Then there are the Varghulis. They are also primarily played by Grayson in this. They are severed heads with bat wings. Those are Varghulis, played by Grayson. Hopefully this helps.
If this is how it starts, we will start with Maledict. You are first up because you have been anticipating it. You've been feeling it in the air. You've gotten the feedback from your animal minions. What would you like to do?
Because I don't want to add to the token madness just yet, I'm going to hold off on summoning in animals. So instead what I'm going to do, I'm going to use this turn. This is still going to be another prep turn. I am going to cast the spell Flame Arrows, which basically just results in Maledict gathering all of his arrows and his quiver together, getting his longbow ready, and coating every single one of his arrows, 12 to be specific, with sulfuric powder that should ignite when the friction of the air hits them. So for my next 12 arrows, they will deal an additional d6 of fire damage.
Brilliant.
Nice.
And then as a bonus action, I am going to put a hunter's mark on this guy, the centaur man.
On the big boy.
On the big boy.
Oh, boy. Going straight for the throat.
So that is action and bonus action. For movement, he is going to take to the rooftops.
Awesome.
As he prepares his longbow to start trying to rain down from a distance.
Brilliant.
And then it's the star of the show. It's Flame Skull.
Flame Skull!
Is this the same Flame Skull that was in the club?
Yeah.
Yep. This is our disco ball.
Amazing.
Don't let him die.
Flame Skull makes his way out of the nest, sees the approaching army of demons, kind of gasps, or as much of a gasp as a skull on fire can. He looks to his partner and says, I've always wanted to do this. Throw me.
Yeah!
And I'm just going to say that that is his 40 feet of flying movement.
Just getting thrown.
Yes.
This is how I want to flavor this next bit. It is because I have been playing D&D for 5 years now, and I've never gotten to do this next thing, so I want to make it as dramatic as I possibly can.
Please do.
So the Revenant grabs him, throws him. He's spinning end over end, and then flames consolidate, condense, get smaller. He is now just a skull, and as he reaches the pinnacle of his 40-foot travel, you hear him shout out his next spell, Fireball!
Ooh, yes!
He throws a giant green flame out of his mouth, which stops his momentum.
Nice!
Beautiful!
Yes!
Our very first fireball.
Please, I think it's a dexterity saving throw.
It's a dexterity saving throw, and the DC is 13.
All right, those of you controlling the diamonds.
It's a 18 okay. For me.
So I believe that's half damage.
That is half damage, so it's going to be half of 8d6.
All right, can you roll that up for us, Daniel?
There is no I in team. However, there are 6 eyes in fuck it. I don't care how big the room is. I cast fireball.
Eh.
27, so Kendra, you're going to take half of 27, rounding down 13.
13. I believe it's 13 for the Grick. And the Varaguli also take 13.
Well, the Maw Demons fail, but they have resistance to fire.
Hey!
The Dretch succeeded, and it has resistance to fire.
So half that again?
Yeah.
So that'll be a quarter for the Dretch, but then half for the Maw Demon. Is there any that were killed off from this blast?
If the 3 Varguli are there, then yeah. 3 of those are just dead.
Okay.
Because it was 13 damage, right?
Yes.
This may be an easy fight. We'll see.
We'll see.
I want to give you guys at least a little bit of a run for your money.
Good turn, Flame Skull.
We're just going to carry the momentum because it looks like I'm next up in the turn order.
Yes. Yes.
So the archers, I have 6 archers now?
4 archers? You have 4 archers and then 4 veterans.
Okay. The archers are going to get into position and knock their arrows onto, and I'll do their 8 total longbow shots in a minute. And these veterans over here are going to do a dash. So let me see. Spread out. Get some advantageous positioning to block people.
Yes, these veteran vampire hunters line up behind the Flame Skull, who just torched so many of the demons.
Okay, do you want me to roll 4 d20s for archers?
You know what? Let's do 2 d20s for like half and half.
All right.
Let's combine them.
The first set is targeting the big guy.
All right.
The second set is going to be targeting any little gribblies.
And the gribblies.
The first shot, because it's 2 shots with its longbow, is a 7 and a 2.
Does not hit.
Okay, so gribblies.
Gribblies.
13 and a 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah, both of those hit. Not a great AC, let me just say.
Let me tell you what.
Then it's going to be D8s, plus as a bonus action, I can add 1d10 to its next attack or damage roll with a longbow or short bow. So it's going to be 2d8s plus 2d10?
I believe so.
Okay.
It is a 14 and a 9. There's a plus 4 to damage.
Yeah, that one's dead. Bye-bye.
All right. I believe that means it's Marlo's turn.
All right. So for Marlo's turn, let me see. I'm going to do just a quick range check.
Oh, no.
That's an interesting cube you've got there.
There.
Ah.
Okay.
What you casting?
So Marlo is going to take off his glasses. He's going to launch a hypnotic gaze into them, and he's going to angle them up into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And over the span of a 30-foot cube encompassing all of the encroaching demons, he is going to blast a hypnotic pattern.
Yeah!
So as his eyes are wavering and warbling and he is using his hypnotic charms, he is creating a swirling pattern of colors and weaves. You create a twisting pattern of colors and weaves through the air inside a 30-foot cube. The pattern appears for a moment and vanishes. Each creature in the area who sees it must make a wisdom saving throw. On a failed save, the creature becomes charmed for the duration.
Hey.
While charmed by this spell, the creature is incapacitated with a speed of zero.
Wow.
Wow. Everyone leave. Get battle over. We save Stratford.
All of the demons must make a DC 17 wisdom save. If they succeed, nothing happens, and the moment that any of them take any damage, they will immediately be snapped out of it. No save required.
And that's a nat 1 for me.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. These are sleepy demons.
Okay, so it looks like only the Grix saved.
Okay.
The Maw Demons also saved. It is a DC 17.
And the Dretch. I got a nat 20.
And the Dretch.
Oh, and the Dretch.
Damn.
So it looks like the Varguli and the Centaur Demon are the only ones that are rooted in place by this. So they basically skip their turn as they stop staring up at the pretty colors in the sky.
Yeah, I think my other two are just too stupid to know what's going on.
They're colorblind.
Aww.
So all of that, and then I'm going to bonus action give Maledict another bardic inspiration.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, I have advantage. I'm going to reroll that. Re-roll I'm so
please.
Sorry. I'm getting all these. Okay, here we go.
Because magic resistance.
Yeah. That is a 17 now, so no longer pretty colors.
Right.
I shake it off.
Got you for a second, though.
So exactly one demon gets got by this.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not nothing.
I was gonna say, you know what?
It's a big lot of something.
At least not everything saved, you know?
I mean, there's gotta be a little back and forth.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be Marlo's turn.
All right, it's the Dreyachi's turn.
Yay! So,
go off, stinky boys.
Two of these are going to walk up and use Fetid Cloud.
Yay! Please read out Fetid Cloud.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to do that.
But I will. Fetid Cloud, once per day, a 10-foot radius of disgusting green gas extends out from the Dretch. Gas spreads out around corners and the area is lightly obscured. Lasts for 1 minute or until a strong wind disperses it. Any creature that starts its turn in that area must succeed on a DC 11 constitution saving throw or be poisoned until the start of its next turn. While poisoned in this way, the target can take either an action or a bonus action on its turn, not both, and can't take reactions.
Is that friendly fire as well?
If you have,
I don't know if you're vulnerable to poison. I think you're okay.
I'm immune. I just wanted to know.
You're immune. Okay, then it doesn't. It'll do nothing. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Do you want me to roll for all five of my goons in there?
Yes. Is Flame Skull susceptible?
I think undead are generally immune.
Damage immunity is cold, fire, poison. He's immune to poison.
Okay, so he's fine.
So the first guard is a nat 20.
Nice.
The second guard is a 17. The third veteran is a 15. And the fourth veteran is a 17.
Yeah, I'll save.
Damn.
Yes.
These guys know what they're doing.
They've experienced worse gas in the barracks.
I believe their vision is obscured.
It says lightly obscured, yeah.
Okay, so they will have disadvantages to hit if they remain in the cloud.
Mm-hmm. When they start their turn in that area, they must make that save again.
Okay.
And that'll do for the dretches.
All right. Maw Demon's turn.
Maw Demon.
All right. Where's the Paw Demon?
Been waiting for that.
I'll take all the cheap shots.
This guy's going to come up here and attack the Flame Skull.
Not the Flame Skull.
No, thank you.
Yeah, Flame Skull. Unfortunately, the dretches are in the way of anything else.
True. Big old lumpy bodies are blocking the way.
Yeah, so it's just going to make a bite attack.
Hey, friend, you don't have to do that.
16 to hit.
That hits.
That hits, and it does 6 damage.
Rude. I just hit my cool big thing, and you're going to ruin it for me? Rude.
All right, good turn. Kendra, it's up to your Wartar, your Armonite.
Okay, so almost getting charmed, shakes it off. Got a little singed, shakes it off. And he is going to... Okay, so what is in front? Wow, we kind of bottlenecked ourselves.
I wasn't really thinking about anything. I just kind of go with
it. Demons aren't that smart. No. Demons just go fight.
Yeah.
Can it run around?
Yeah, I have a speed of 60 feet, so let me see.
Oh yeah, that's not a problem.
Seeing the bottleneck situation, the Armonite is going to flank from the side. It's going to go around and end up here. And we get 3 attacks on this. Buddy, no. Okay.
Buddy.
I'll just tell you right now, I'm going to hit.
So he's caught up in the excitement and throw hooves and claws and his tail. And they whiff. He's used to fighting devils in the Abyss during the Blood Wars. He's getting acclimated to these spry little humans. But that's all part of the challenge, baby.
Yeah.
It is now the Grick's turn.
Uh-oh. They can't really do a lot because we're all bottlenecked in the center. They're really just going to be running up the side.
Most ones can climb, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, the Gricks can climb.
They can?
The Gricks can climb. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, I will change it a little bit. I don't think he'll actually reach anyone, but he'll be on the roof.
All right.
And then I got one more little guy because I think the Varguli that I've got on the field is stuck.
Yeah, he is hypnotic pattern.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, both Gricks are just going to end up on the roof and that'll be their turn.
All right. They will slither up there and get primed to strike. Brilliant. Okay. Hey, it's Ghoul's turn.
Heck yeah, let's ghoul it up.
Oh,
oh hell yeah, it's my favorite kind of turn. We're just moving. Yep, the ghouls are just going to run out and be like little frontline fodder.
All right.
Nice. Hey, don't worry, ghoulies, that's what we are too.
Oh, wait, what am I thinking? Can they hold their action and just attack anyone that walks by since we don't normally do opportunity attacks?
Yes.
It would just be a similar concept.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
And then I believe if that's it for the ghoulies, the Varaghouli...
Turn skipped.
Turn is skipped. So now it is the vampire spawn.
The vampire spawns, plural, and if you look over, you'll notice that one of them is one of the goth vampire twins the surviving one. But he's hanging out with a new best friend, and that new best friend is clearly, like, just really introverted and lonely and is being, like, molded unhealthily into a surrogate new brother replacement.
Oh, no.
I need to double check which one died. They were Cleo and Theo. I don't know which one survived.
Maybe even that one doesn't remember.
You got a 50-50 chance.
It's Theo.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
I was just about to say.
So Theo and friend.
Anyway, they're going to, Theo and friend are going to walk over and try to, like, sidle up next to Marlo and appear cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're with the vampires. Pretty sweet. Not a big deal, but, like, pretty cool.
Brilliant. All right, if that is their turn, it is Gonzo's turn.
A petition that I would like to make.
Yes.
If I have Gonzo focus entirely on the Hallow this turn, can we advance that timer by 1 round?
Yes.
So that now goes down to only 4 rounds we need to do, and then once it circles back around to Maledict, it will be 3 rounds because I've advanced it by 1.
Yes.
Okay, so Gonzo is going to skip her turn, just entirely focus on trying to double down on this Hallow and, like, really expedite those incantations and these runes.
Brilliant, thank you. Then we are going to jump to skeletons.
Skeletons, that's me.
And I believe your zombies are a part of that turn as well?
Yeah. So what my skeletons, all four of them, is they're going to go 30 feet in about a straight line.
Okay.
And what they are going to do is they're going to ready their arrows because they have bows. Yeah. And they're going to shoot into the chaos at the freaking demons because why not?
All right. Please roll their to hit attacks at once and then we will go from there.
Oh, okay, one of them did get in at one, but the but two of them got 19s. So I think two are going to miss and two are going to hit.
All right. Who are they aiming at?
One of them is going to aim at this guy.
The Armonite?
The Armonite.
No.
The other is going to aim at this guy, and the other two, their arrows just like drop because they didn't pull back hard enough.
The nat one skeleton does the thing where you shoot the arrow backwards and it just lands in his eye hole.
Pretty much, yeah.
So please roll damage for the Armonite and then damage for the Dretch.
The Armonite is going to take 7 damage and the Dretch is going to take 4.
Okay.
That's it for my skeletons. Zombies are just going to they're just going to move forward. Their speed is 20 some feet, I think.
I think so. They're pretty slow.
Just going to do a zombie shuffle going.
And they're going to right past the Revenant, who is but bigger.
Pretty much, yeah.
There's the stat block man, and if you just want to keep him simple.
He's going to be chilled, no worries. Oh my god, he is strong as shit.
They're very strong.
Yeah, we don't want to mess with him. That's the reason why he's the bouncer.
Yeah, Vordenburg was a stronger one of these.
Oh, good god in heaven. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so the Revenant is just going to go, me help, and just run past the skeletons and just
loom ominously behind this line of vampire hunters. Okay. And then gosh golly, it's gonna be Jonathan's turn. He's seeing this first round of this fight, and he's seeing that none of the undead are attacking any of the vampire hunters in the midst. If anything, everybody's working together. And he has he's almost two people in one person for his ideals.
Would you say he has two wolves inside him?
He has two wolves inside of him. God damn it. I can't ever speak. And he feels...
What you gonna do, Jonathan? You gonna fuck it up? What's up, Jonathan? What's going on?
He doesn't know! He's gonna play it safe and go for the obvious threats. As long as everybody's playing nice together, I guess he can wait a second to kill the undead Scourge. But we'll get there. Whoa. We'll get there, I guess.
Ew, so, character growth.
He's going to run up to this abyssal demon maw, and he is going to use his bonus action to use his branding smite, which will give him extra radiant damage, and that will be maintained. So he will cast this spell. He will roll to hit. That's going to be a 19 to hit the maw.
That'll hit.
All right. And that will be a d12. That is a 9 plus 2d6s of radiant damage in 16. That'll be 16 damage. Are they vulnerable to radiant? Or are they just chilling?
No, they're chilling.
Is he still standing?
He is still standing.
We're going to use our second attack. And that'll be a 17 plus whatever.
That hits.
4 plus 9.
And that kills him.
All right.
Yeah, he just is splattered.
I think that's what I will do this turn.
Careful, you're in the back end. Back end business of a horse. I don't want to be there.
I know, you're going to kick me. And you have a blade tail. You're intense. Yep. It is.
And also a demon cow is right there.
Yeah.
And there's a grick. I mean, that's less intense.
That's a little just unsettling and gross. It's Maledict's turn.
All right. So Maledict is going to make a couple of longbow shots at the centaur demon.
Now I feel like you're picking up. No kidding.
So that is a 24 and a nat 1.
Ooh, all right.
You know, the 24 actually hits. What's that?
So for the 24, that's going to be a d8 plus 4 plus a d6 from the hunter's mark plus a d6 from the fire plus an additional d8 because you are below max HP.
Oh.
You're going to have to math that.
I will.
Okay.
So that is going to be 17 damage.
Okay.
And then
okay.
the second was a nat 1.
So what happens with your nat 1?
Breaks his bow.
No. We won't make it that dire. Not in these circumstances.
Typically, I've been doing friendly fire for these, but I would prefer not to shoot Jonathan right now. I will leave it up to you, though, Jordan.
Roll a d20 for luck.
2. Ooh.
That's not very lucky. Roll to hit Jonathan.
That's a 28.
That hits. That close, so for sure hits.
Oops.
Again, fuck that guy.
Yeah. Jonathan's like, I fucking knew it.
I knew it. As soon as my back was turned.
That's going to be 12 damage to Jonathan.
Owie. Oh.
Oops, did I do that?
And he looks back at you with this burning fury. And what's the look on Maledict's face?
He's going to do the little, hands up whoops that you do when you accidentally cut someone off while driving.
Like, ooh.
So he will, like, slightly grimace, hands up, and just kind of mouth, sorry.
Surprised he didn't blame one of the archers.
Jonathan's eye is twitching. He's like, I'm afraid. It is the Flame Skull's turn next, unless there's anything else Maledict can do.
That's going to be it.
Okay. Real quick, Maledict, in the middle of going, ah, shit, oops, you feel a rumbling in the air and you feel that looming darkness get closer. Any birds that really tried to tough it out in the trees are gone now. They have, like, flown the coop. And you see starting to crest over the trees and over the hill, there is this horrible demonic face. Teeth so large, their tusks, multiple eyes, and four arms like a giant gorilla. But the legs, the arms and legs and limbs keep on going. And you see 30 feet tall, a gigantic gorillipede. Also known as an Udok, but for our purposes.
Holy crap.
And as it's cresting over this hill, its form is so big on the skyline, it is starting to block out the sun. It's still hitting, for all mechanical purposes, the sun's still hitting, but it is eclipsed as it's cresting over.
How many rounds away is it?
It is, we have, what?
We currently have 3 rounds remaining before the hallow goes up.
Well, let's see its movement.
Basically, will it enter initiative this round?
I think go ahead and throw it in there, but it will cross the threshold next round.
Okay, so then I will not act on the big thing until next round, but as it begins to approach and loom over this town, Maledict is going to see it coming, just kind of shudder, and will whisper to himself, oh no, it's some kind of vaguely defined abyssal super weapon. Really? Nothing from you, Aaron?
I'm on push to talk.
I know, Aaron's been, like, really quiet.
I'm being respectful.
Not allowed.
No respect allowed here.
So, unfortunately, Daniel cannot be the Flame Skull anymore?
Yeah, something came up and Daniel needed to leave, so his forces have been dispersed to everyone else.
Let's see. I think the Flame Skull is going to use Fire Ray. No. Magic Missile! The other thing wizards
magic
can do.
Missile.
Magic missile. And with magic missile, you create 3 glowing darts of magical force. Each dart hits a creature of your choice that you can see within range. A dart deals 1d4 plus 1 force damage to its target. The darts strike all simultaneously, and you can direct them to hit one creature or several. I think Flame Skull is going to cast this at 2nd level. So it has 4 darts, and it is going to cast it at this Dretch right next to it, to its left, and then the Maw Demon to the south of it. 5 to the Dretch.
5 to the Dretch.
And 6 to the Maw Demon.
All right.
And it's going to try and fly out of here, because it's getting a little packed.
I like to think that one of the veterans just scoops it up with its sword and flings it back.
Get out of here. Come on, I don't want to hurt you, man. You're very endearing. It is now the vampire hunters, which are the archers and the veterans.
Do we know the distance that the longbows can reach? Is it like 60 feet?
Funny enough, longbows actually are not good at short range. They have a minimum range of 150 to 300 feet. So if we're being true to that, then anything closer than 150 feet away, you would have disadvantage to hit, and anything further than 300 feet would be out of range. But we could just ignore that.
And it's lightly obscured in this cloud as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could always have them back up.
No.
They've got short bows that do the damage of a longbow.
Wow, they're so actually equipped.
Then what I will do is that I'll have two of these archers run off to the side over here. And of course, just have these guys just kind of keep in formation a little bit because, of course, they're professionals. And making, I don't know, some approximation of where everyone is in this area and kind of remembering where their veteran allies were. Pull back, let loose the arrows.
All right. Please roll all their two hits up front.
Five probably doesn't hit, and the three doesn't hit. An 18, and then above a 20. They would probably be going after the dretches, mostly just because they know that they're the ones that are obscuring the vision.
Mm-hmm, making the stinky stink cloud.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they want to clear that up as soon as possible.
Yeah, both of those hit. So.
So please roll damage.
10 on one, and then we got 7 on the other.
Both of those will kill.
Okay. And does that dissipate the cloud?
No, the cloud is still there.
Oh, that's right. Because I think you said like a gust of wind, right?
Yeah, but hey, now there's less reason to be there.
Yeah, that's going to do it for the archers. Now the veterans.
Oh, they all have to make a DC 11 constitution saving throw.
One does not pass.
Okay.
I'll say the one that's like right in front of you.
In that case, it can only take an action or a bonus action, but not both. And until your next turn, it can't take reactions either. But then after that, it's not poisoned.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, then we will start with that guy that can only take one action. He will do a longsword attack on the dretch. Ooh, that's not good for him.
Aww.
Yeah, that's probably not going to hit. That's a 7 in total.
That does not hit, no.
Okay, so that guy whiffs. His buddies are going to see him suffering, and at least one of them will be able to step up and take a big old swing again on that dretch. That one rolled a 13.
Oh, that hits.
Alrighty.
Are there any bonuses to the damage?
Yes, it's going to be a +3.
Okay, you killed it.
Okay, hey, cool. Grayson, please describe how you kill that stinky stink boy.
So the veteran dude, he notices that his friend's in trouble and he's like, nah, I got you, man. Runs in there, takes his sword and kind of just runs it right through. And then just kind of like pulls it out, does a quick swing and the blood just splatters everywhere.
I'd like to say that my little dretchy boys, the last two surviving ones, because they have telepathy, they fully experience the death of their brethren.
Oh my god.
Oh.
Stinky tears fall from their eyes.
They just fart in nervousness.
It's just gasoline, just straight pure methane.
Yeah, absolutely.
They pour out a fart for their brothers.
Oh my god. Oh, on that note, Marlo, it's your turn.
All right. So, apologies again for friendly fire.
God damn it.
He's going to cast Shatter. If he does it right here, then he will hit two Ma demons and a Grick. So, the serpent on the roof and the two mouth and eyeball boys. But it's also going to hit two veterans.
Do they have to roll for anything?
It is a constitution saving throw. That is a DC 17.
Holy crap. All right.
And I'm going to say he's going to upcast that to third level.
Yeah, they both fail. For the veterans.
How the Maw's doing?
One rolls a 19, the other one rolls a nat 1.
Hey!
So the nat 1's going to be 8d8.
The Grick rolled a 17 on the die.
So they will still take half damage.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that now. So that'll be 8 damage for the successful saves.
Okay.
That'll be 13 damage for the people who failed regularly, and then for the nat 1, that'll be 29 damage for the crit fail.
Yeah, that one's dead.
Jonathan, seeing his allies get hit with that shatter, it's gonna be like...
Does he see it? Because they're in an obscured cloud.
It's lightly obscured. Do you want me to roll for it?
That's fine. If you want him to see it, go for it.
Yeah, he's gonna see his allies get hit with that shockwave. And he's like, "You bastard! I know it was you! I know that Sweeney Todd's Screech anywhere!"
And Marlo is gonna put his hands up and mouth sarcastically, "Sorry."
Oh my god!
As he rolls his eyes.
At least Maledix was a little sincere.
And that's going to be Marlo's turn.
Jonathan's like, I hate these guys so much.
You know what? That's not going to be Marlo's turn. He's going to give a bardic inspiration to Jonathan.
Hey!
Jonathan's incredibly conflicted!
He's going to say, sorry.
That's the bardic inspiration.
And then wink. And then in that confusion, you feel bardically inspired.
I feel icky.
And then that's it for Marlo.
Yeah! All right, it's the Dretch's turn. The remaining survivor Dretch's, hearing the screams of their brothers in their ears.
The dying farts.
Yeah.
No, brothers! This one runs up and it's going to take its multi-attack at Jonathan.
Jonathan.
16, 17, 18 to hit with the first attack.
That'll hit.
And 12 to hit with the second.
That will not hit.
It's going to do 6 damage.
All right.
Yeah, that's my turn with those guys. So it'll be the Abyssal Maws.
Abyssal Maw.
He's going to attack that guy that's right in front of him. Nat 20, nice.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
I mean, no.
Is that first nat for the baddies?
If you're not counting ones, sure.
I'm not counting the ones. The embarrassments.
I've had a few natural 12s.
Ah.
All right, that does 13 damage.
All right.
That is the end of mine.
Kendra. It's your Armonite's turn.
The Armonite is going to notice that Jonathan gets behind him. And so his tail is going to whip around and try to attack.
All right.
13 plus 8.
That'll hit.
Okay.
No.
Stop picking on Jonathan.
I know.
He deserves it.
A little bit.
Just a little bit more than a little guy.
Yeah.
To be fair, he's a very nuanced villain.
He's been through a lot, man. He doesn't understand how this world works.
It's going to be 15 slashing damage.
Ooh, owie.
And the reason why I didn't do all three attacks is because I want to do Lightning Lance. The Armonite looses a bolt of lightning in a line 60 feet long and 10 feet wide.
Ooh.
Each creature in the line must make a DC 15 dexterity saving throw, taking 68 lightning damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful.
Okay.
There's no bow, but I'm going to, you know, knock this this lightning bolt. And I want it in this line going towards... It's Marlo, correct?
Oh, shoot.
That should pass through Marlo into Maledict and hit both of them.
Yimini.
Yeah.
Perfect. So it's 60 feet, and I think it's 10 feet wide, so it could potentially even hit...
Are you trying to get Gonzo?
I am.
That would get...
Oh my god.
Is that a save or a to hit?
DC 15 dexterity saving throw.
It would also hit these two archers.
And also the ghouls to the left of Marlo. And the skeletons. And also...
Yimini, criminy, Kendra. Look at you go.
Yeah, that is a lot. Wow, all right.
Ooh. That's a lot of damage.
Is this bolt going through the building that Gonzo is behind and Maledict is on the roof of?
That's what I wanted to ask. I don't... If we have to involve, like, three dimensions and how high up are you? Or should I just go straight through the building?
I'm going to roll for luck. If it's below a 10, it goes through the building and will hit everybody and potentially Maledict will fall. I rolled an 8.
Oofa doofa.
So, holy crap.
Marlo saved, Maledict and Gonzo both failed.
Ooh!
Woof! I don't blame them!
Okay.
And also the two archers failed.
Wow.
And that's going to break Maledict's concentration on the hunter's mark.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry!
So what's the damage?
Two plus six plus seven plus five plus four plus two plus one plus four.
31.
Oh my gosh.
There you go. So the Armonite builds up this electrical energy, and in his claw, he aims it at the house at Maledict. Can they feel the hunter's mark on them?
How I will flavor the hunter's mark. Maledict basically narrows his senses, gets in tune with the flow of your blood and the beating of your heart, and basically kind of like narrows in and echolocates on you.
Damn, that's
so
cool.
I'll leave it up to you whether or not you're aware of it. Either way, you are no longer under its effects.
You are an abyssal war machine.
He's going to see Maledict and feel a unnatural connection, and he's going to narrow his eyes and snort out abyssal steam and knock back and throw this lightning bolt through the house, destroying anything within a 10-foot diameter?
Radius.
Yeah. Thank you, radius. And just destroy this house.
Ugh. Dan, feel free to say no to this, but in my mind, that's Gonzo's house.
That's the nest, is where historically...
Oh, that's the nest?
Oh, I think you mean that was the nest.
Oh.
That's where historically I have placed the nest.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The nest is underground, so this is the building that the nest is beneath.
Okay.
Hey, you guys were looking for a second door inside and out, right?
Yeah.
I think we just made one.
There is one. Now.
There's a beautiful skylight.
The whole thing is a door now.
Brilliant. All right, so we've got all our damages totaled up, everyone.
Okay, and I still have one more attack.
Oh my gosh.
Do it. Do it.
So I'm going to, after that, because the lightning lance requires a recharge. But with that, I am going to go, since I'm right next to, you know what? Because this is a spiteful little guy, I'm going to take a tail attack against Jonathan again. Well, that's a two, so it's not
Yay!
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jonathan just swipes it out of the way. Not again!
In the excitement, my tail is just wiping, like, you know, whistling through the air wildly.
It's just wagging.
He's like, yee!
I know, he's just really happy about,
that.
Like, messing up that house.
Yeah, distraction! All right, it is the Grick's turn.
Alrighty, we got one Grick that's near Jonathan, and you sure shit he's gonna slither on over.
Yes, fucking hell.
He's gonna go for his little multi-attack. That's probably not gonna hit. I think it's a 13.
That will not hit.
Alrighty, Jonathan makes it out of that one.
He's like, I hate it here.
I'm gonna have this other Grick that's still alive rush past the Revenant and go after one of these Skellamen.
No, not my Skellamen.
All right.
They have to be dragged into the fight, too. Gonna go for another multi-attack. Ooh, these Gricks are not rolling very well. That's gonna be a 10?
Miss.
Alrighty. Well, that's gonna do it for the Grick, I believe.
All right, then it's on to the ghouls.
The ghouls are looking around. It's vicious. They just got singed by that... lightning ray. They're bewildered. I'm just gonna roll a quick evens or odds. Ooh, odds. They assume that came from the famous veteran monster hunter.
Oh, no.
All right, we broke the armistice.
They're each gonna chomp on one.
Uh-huh. Oops.
Well, to be fair, they'll try.
There we go.
Yeah, they will try.
So I've got a 19 for the northward ghoul to munch on the northward veteran.
So this one?
That would be south.
That would
friend.
Be southward.
Oh, my bad. I was looking at, like, the other way. All right. 19 hits.
And that's going to be 2d6 plus 2. Ooh, 11.
Ooh. Alrighty.
And now south for south. Does a 13 hit?
No, it does not.
So the top one, like, goes in for the throat, gets like a nice bite in. There's blood gushing out. The guard is screaming. And then the southward one doesn't have teeth, so it's gummily gnawing on like a forearm plate, doing no damage.
You know, if we weren't in battle, this would feel really good.
Don't.
That's the turn. You ruined it.
We're banning Grayson from the server.
I didn't mean it like that, but sure. Yes.
I believe it's the Varaguli.
Ooh.
Flappy boy.
So that little guy's going to kick it into overdrive. He doesn't want to get left out of the fight. He sees all the fun.
Whee!
So he's going to run up on this little veteran and go after that guy. Nope, that's a natural one. We're going to finish that up, and he is done, buddy.
It's the vampire spawn's turn.
So Theo's going to, like, look at Marlo, but be too nervous to actually, like, nudge him or touch him or anything. Just, like, not confident enough. But he's going to be like, look at how cool we are. And Marlo's not going to look. And then the two of them.
Marlo's going to be actively trying to put out flames on his cloak from the lightning arrow.
And these two singed, electrified goths are going to run over and try to get their revenge on the lightning slinger.
Bring it on. Come on.
I will have one attack with claws. Ugh, does a 12 hit?
Nope.
That one wasn't me, says Theo. And then he's going to go ahead and do his attack.
That wasn't me.
Does a 20 hit?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So that's going to actually turn into a grapple. Theo's going to, like, mount the horse part and be holding on around the neck. And he's going to go for a bite attack.
You guys are saying I should get banged.
That is what it's called.
Yeah, come on. I'm doing everything right. Anyway, it's a 24, so it hits. So it's going to be 8 piercing damage and 11 necrotic damage.
Hey.
Ooh, nice. Yeah,
holy shit. Also, I'm juiced up. I got most of that electricity. Well, Theo did. The other goth teen is still looking pretty rough. Oh. And then you can see survivor's guilt flashing in Theo as once again it looks like he's going to make it.
Oh, no. He is the stronger twin.
Damn.
That'll do it for them.
Brilliant. All right, it is Gonzo's turn. I will say the same thing as previous turn. If she dedicates her full everything to this, we can eliminate an extra round. But to finalize the hollow ground, she will need to go towards the center of where this is being cast. So you can choose to make her way over, but that does put her at risk if you choose to do so now.
I think I'm going to do so now. There is...
Nowhere safe.
I was going to say, you could just walk right through.
Yeah, she's going to walk through the wreckage of the building atop the nest and just kind of shakily make her way forward. She's still going to choose not to do anything so that we can expedite the hallowed ground. Mm-hmm. So that goes down to 2 rounds needed. When it circles back to Maledict, it'll be only 1.
Brilliant. Okay.
And that's going to do it for Gonzo.
All right. It's Skelemans.
Okay, so got 2 skilly boys left, and those skilly boys are just going to look at each other and go, "We gotta attack the one that killed our friends! Until we meet again!" And then they rush the big one.
Good luck! Poke a rib at me.
They are going to attack with their short swords.
Nay!
Okay, well, one's, it does 21 hit.
That hits.
Okay, well, one hits, one misses, because I got a 7 and a 17.
Yeah, no.
Boo. 3 damage.
Oh.
Well, one skeleton just, yep, it literally does poke a rib at you.
Ow, stop it.
Well, you know what?
Ow.
Damage is damage.
Yeah, true. Damage is damage.
It's emotional damage.
And it's the Revenant's turn next,
it
right?
It is the Revenant's turn, yes.
Well, big boy Rev is going to go, "Be smash horse thing." And goes straight to the Armonite.
Sorry, Kendra, you became public enemy number 1.
I don't know, yeah. That's fine. Hit me with your best shot.
14 plus 7.
Hey.
Gosh, dang.
I think you hit me with your best shot. I hope you guys realize that if I regain my charge attack,
Oh, yeah, we're boned. We are totally boned.
You'll clear the board for, like, quite a few people.
14 damage.
Sweet.
Oh, my gosh.
Second attack. Dirty 20.
Yeah, it hits.
Yep. Now my dice are liking me. Shit. 10 damage.
Okay. I will say that I am bloodied.
Hey.
Oh.
So take that for what it's worth.
We're almost there.
All it took was the full dedicated effort of every single person.
All right. Is that the end of the Revenant's turn?
That is the end of the Revenant's turn.
All right.
What you doing, Jonathan?
What's Jonathan doing? Oh, man.
Oh, Jonathan.
Shucks.
Jonathan, huh? What a bore.
I mean, I know we had a chance of redeeming him, but that's not looking good at this point.
No.
There's been a lot of friendly fire, we'll say. But he's going to see this guy here. He's going to make his two attacks, and that is... One of them's a net 20.
Oh my gosh.
The other is a 6 plus 7. So a 13. I don't think that'll hit.
Who are you trying to hit?
You! Star of the show.
Oh, okay.
Who else?
The one enemy in this entire game.
The only one hits.
Kendra's very popular today.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Wow, guys. Can't keep his paws off me.
All right. So that is going to be... That's going to be 28 damage.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay, you killed me. I'm down.
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
I had 25 hit points left.
Damn. Yes. Jonathan gets the win.
We hit it till it died.
He's just boiling with so many conflicted feelings and rage that it looks like he's working with the undead, but the undead aren't working with him. And just takes his lance and just runs him through. And then when he sees, oh shit, that did it. Oh, now what? He's gonna get the hell out of this very close crowd.
But why?
I'm surrounded.
Dang it. I was gonna fart on him.
No! Actually, before I leave, because I'm a mounted combatant, that first roll was initially a nat 20. That's what took down the Armonite. I'm going to roll my advantage attack against the dretch behind me.
What? No, he just wants to fart.
That's why he must die. That is an 18 plus 7 to hit.
That'll hit.
All right, let's get rid of Toots McGee.
Let's see if you can.
No, that's true. So that's 10 damage against the dretch.
Ah, he survives.
And he's like, I am not sticking around to figure out what that thing does. And he's going to just like gallop away.
Oh, look, there's another dretch though.
Oh, there's another one over here.
I saw you moving over there and I was like, oh my gosh, he still gets to get farted on.
Can he do anything for his bonus action? I don't think so.
Lay on hands. I don't know.
Oh, why, thank you, Grayson. He's going to use...
It's not like I have a paladin.
Lay on hands.
There we go.
On himself to heal...
Get that boy back up.
Back up to his full.
Hell yeah.
But that is his turn.
He's feeling better.
Physically, yes. Emotionally, no. He is at tug of war with something within himself that feels like it's very nearly at its breaking point. But off in the distance, off on the horizon, that looming shadow in the sky is getting closer, and it crosses over the threshold into where the hollow ground is going to take place.
Oh no!
He is going to move his speed of 50. And as he crosses the threshold into Stratford, is going to start crushing houses around him and just collapsing them inward. And then that will be his turn. Maledict, it's yours.
All right, we got one round before the Hallow, so we just need to make it to the end of this. We need to make it to Gonzo's turn, basically.
Basically.
So, seeing that the Gorillapede crossed the threshold, even though the undead were actually doing quite well in this up until this point, Gorillapede is a dangerous foe. So, I don't know, we never established what this would cost, but this feels like a full turn worth of action.
Let's see.
Maledict is going to, seeing how injured Gonzo is and how close the Hallow is to kicking into effect, and seeing that the biggest threat and super weapon has crossed where the boundary is, he is going to pull the emergency lever.
Yes!
He's going to get out Baba Yaga's mortar and pestle.
Yes!
Yes!
Baba Yaga!
He is going to run the pestle around the rim of the mortar, and then he is going to tap it along the side. And as the reverberations stem out, on the edge of town, just off screen, the house begins to rumble. It slowly starts to lift up off of the ground as an enormous pair of legs begin to unfurl out from underneath the House of Mysteries, and the house begins to change its appearance on the front as all of the eaves begin to crush inward and get jagged spikes. The windows bow inwards like angry eyes. All of the railings begin to shoot into spikes up and down, forming a mouth of jagged wooden teeth. And side pillars and rooms of the house begin to shoot out, forming into these brickwork extensions that bury themselves into the ground like gigantic arms. And it starts to lift itself up and let out a mighty bellow. As the house looms on the distance and begins to make its way in, joining into the initiative.
Yes.
Oh, shit!
Yeah. Baba Yaga!
Oh, my God!
Whoa, boy.
And like the Mystery Shack in the finale of Gravity Falls...
yes!
Amazing.
The giant, sentient, mechanized house is in defense mode and begins to make its way inside.
Oh, shit.
If you're fine with that taking up Maledict's entire turn, are you okay with me adding the house into initiative immediately after him?
Absolutely. Please do it.
So the house is going to take its movement of 60 feet.
Oh, slightly faster.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, can we have a kaiju battle?
What do you think we're doing?
Kaiju, 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 kaiju.
Well, it's really more like Pacific Rim.
Oh my God.
When I told you in the final week we escalated things, we escalated things.
So the house is going to...
Oh, don't step on my guy.
Leaping across the plains of Stratford. It is going to take a dash action.
Oh.
And move an additional 60 feet.
And smush those two that it crossed paths with.
Yeah, it smushed a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so many things are smushed.
Lots of death.
And it doesn't have any bonus actions it can take, so that is the end of its turn as the house interposes itself between the abyssal superweapon and the town of Stratford. For the demons that it jumped over, do you want me to roll to see if they get smushed?
Let's have them roll a dex save of 15.
Oh, please, one guy. I just want to fart. The Abyssal Maws do not make it. They roll just under.
Which will, I can roll for that. It will deal 6d10 plus 10 damage.
Do they have...
They have that much HP.
Okay, roll it. Yeah, let's see.
This guy does save. I rolled an 18.
All right.
You might be able to fart twice.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
A dream. And this is how a dream comes true.
I've got dreams. Yes, I do.
I got dreams.
How about you?
I got dreams to fart on you.
I got dreams to fart.
That's going to be 48 damage.
Okay, yeah, no, both of those are dead.
goodbye.
As they get completely flattened and pancaked underneath the weight of this house, tromping through the city.
Oh, man. I had them perfectly set up and everything.
You did. You were going in for the stealth kill. I saw it.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because you'll get to fart probably on Jonathan.
Hopefully. We still got a couple turns.
And that's going to end Maledict and the house's turns, which also for flavor, by this point, as the house is running in, Maledict has the mortar and pestle like a joystick.
Yeah!
And is from a distance piloting the house.
That's awesome.
All right.
Flame Skull.
It's Flame Skull!
Yay! Flame Skull!
Yeah!
The true hero.
The true hero, the true star of the show. Flame Skull is going to focus on this stretch right here and is going to cast.
You say the dretch or the grick?
Oh, the grick, sorry. No, I'll leave the dretch.
I was going to say, not the dretch.
I'll let Bailey live his dream.
They still have to make it through the archers and the other guys.
Yeah, the Flame Skull is going to cast Flaming Sphere. A 5-foot diameter sphere of fire appears in an unoccupied space of your choice within range and lasts for the duration. Any creature that ends its turn within 5 feet of the sphere must make a dexterity saving throw. The creature takes 2d6 fire damage on a failed save or half as much on a successful one. As a bonus action, I can move it. So, I might get one of your dretches, Bailey. Hope that's okay. Vampire Spawn, I believe Theo needs to make a dexterity saving throw of, where is it? 13.
Well, it's 21.
Heck yeah.
Is it half damage or?
Half damage on a success.
Yeah, that dretch is dead.
Oh, goodbye, stinky dretch.
It only had one HP.
Oh. So that is 5 fire damage from this flaming sphere.
Oh my god. The Grick is still alive.
Oh no!
It is now the archers and veterans' turn.
The veterans, I'm looking to see who they can attack. Veterans can go after... they're going to be ganging up on the little demon maw dude and also the one little Valguli thing.
Valguli.
Valguli.
Gabagoo.
That's going to be 3 hits.
Okay, cool.
So 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 24.
Farguli's dead.
Farguli's dead.
And then the archers are going to pretty much gang up on the Grick that I have over here.
All right.
And all 4 of them are going to let loose their arrows because I'm just going all in on the guys that I know I can hopefully kill. Miss. That's a hit. That's a hit. Oh, shit. One of them crit. So that's a 9 damage on the Grick. That's right there. Unfortunately, he's still not dead, but that is their turn.
Brilliant. It is Marlo's turn.
I guess he is going to do dissonant whispers on that maw demon. Wisdom save, DC 17.
All right, I did not save, so it's dead.
All right.
It had 1 HP.
Hey! And then the moment I've been loathing, but everyone else has been waiting for, it's the dretch's turn.
It's fart time.
It's farting time. The dretch is going to go up directly to Jonathan, and it's going to slowly bend down and just rip the fattest cloud.
Oh my god.
What's the saving throw?
It's a constitutional 11.
Right. 12. He just barely.
Oh, dang it. Okay.
Wow, just barely.
But it was about sending a message.
I like to think part of him is like, I deserve this. I thought I was going to be the hero here, but no, I'm getting farted on by a demon. All right, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and the demon seems to be really enjoying himself with it. I think I deserved it.
Brilliant. Is there anything else you'd like him to do?
That's all it can do. That is its entire movement and its entire action.
Brilliant. It is the Grick's turn.
Just for the sake of the story, I'm going to abandon my original plan, and the Grick will turn around to Jonathan.
Hey!
Rolled an 18 to hit.
That'll hit.
So that's going to be 8 damage.
All right.
On the tentacle, and then it's going to be 12, 13, 14 for the bite.
All right, 14, yowie, zowie.
And that's going to be the Grick's turn.
Can I ask to expedite Jonathan's turn to right now?
Go for it.
Above a 10, he does the good thing to do. Below a 10, he does the bad thing to do. He rolled an 11.
Oh.
He is going to sigh as his whole worldview has been irreparably shattered by his experience in Stratford, and he's going to go to Gonzo, get off his horse, get off his high horse, and he's going to help Gonzo complete the ceremony the way she wants it completed.
What do you mean, boo? That's what we meant.
Boo! I thought we liked character development in here.
Character development.
I see how it is. He is going to do that. He is going to help Gonzo. Rather than the alternative, if I had rolled lower, which was going to be to turn on the town and start knocking out the undead. Because he chose to save them rather than use this as an opportunity to use this vulnerability against them, something within Jonathan breaks. And that divine energy, that righteousness, that oath of vengeance that he carried with him into this, that he was trying so hard to stand behind and keep, is snapped. His paladin oath of vengeance is broken.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah. As he chose to save the town and spare the undead over vanquishing them.
And Gonzo is going to nod as she is saying the incantation. She's going to break very, very slightly to mouth the words, "Thank you. Mina would be proud."
Oh, shit. Jonathan just breaks down into ugly crying, ugly tears. He's sobbing as he's like reading through the rest of the incantation and waiting for it to go off, which it is now Gonzo's turn, and the incantation goes off. This ground in Stratford is now hollowed. The demons that remain here in the grounds are weakened. They are vulnerable to all attacks. Any possible future encroaching demons will not be able to step on the grounds of Stratford. It has been protected.
So Gonzo will collapse on the ground with level 4 exhaustion.
Hey!
Instead of level 5.
Oh, thank God she's not dead.
She did take 31 points of damage, though.
She did.
Her HP is still cut in half, so she's got 10 HP now.
Oh my God.
So she is going to collapse on the ground as light begins to shoot out of her, solidifying around the runes. The circumference of the town begins to glow as she extends her arms out, finishes the prayer, and like Kida from Atlantis.
Yes!
Yeah!
A bubble forms over the town of Stratford, glowing with this yellow light, this aura that encompasses the entire town, and she begins to shrivel as her life force is leaving her to cast this spell. And collapsing onto her hands and knees, weakened, out of breath, hanging on to her last shreds of life, she shares that burden with Jonathan, who helps keep her stable and keep her alive and going as she starts to try to hobble her way to safety.
And he will for sure assist her. All right, do you want to just cut to the House of Mysteries versus the Udak?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Udak first. The Udak is going to charge into the house. This is a siege monster, so it does double damage to objects and structures.
But it is weakened.
Yes, it is weakened. It'll be vulnerable to any attack, so any attack that the house does will do double damage.
Got you.
So basically they're just doing double damage to each other?
Yeah.
So it breaks even.
It's a 11 plus 13 to hit.
That will hit.
It's going to be 21 damage as it rears up, slams, and bites into the house. It's going to take its second attack. Is 11 plus 13. That'll hit. That will be another 21 damage. And then 3 plus 13 is 16. Does that hit?
That does not hit.
All right. And it's going to just bellow outwardly a low bassy rumble that it just shakes the ground around it. All right. House of Mysteries.
All right. So the House of Mysteries is going to very carefully try to step over everything as it rears back and prepares to ram the monster, push it outside of the limit. So it's going to charge forward, leaping at the gorillipede. And that's a nat 20.
Yeah! Yes!
It will deal 6d12 plus 6 damage. So that is going to be 50 damage.
Hell yeah.
Wait, and it's vulnerable.
Double it. Yeah. Double it.
Double that again.
So it's going to do 100 damage as it rams directly into this siege monster and is going to use all of its movement and momentum to try to grapple and push it out past the boundaries of the Hallow spell.
I would say with a nat 20, and it's like biting and grabbing on, as you pull back and run forward, your chicken legs carefully stomping, you manage to uppercut the gorillipede with the peak of the house, sending it flying backwards in a daze, and it falls with an earthquake shattering slam on the ground just outside the hollow.
Amazing.
And when it gets up and tries to clamber its way back in, it is burned away by that brilliant light.
Oh!
Insane.
In this moment, the Udak has just been pushed out of the town. Everyone's cheering, and Jonathan's just sitting there and just... it's pure emotion. There's no thought. Some last little bit of him lashes out, and he's going to run towards Marlo and take a swing at him. That's going to be a 12.
A 12 does not hit.
And he's going to try again. And that's going to be another 12.
A 12 still does not hit.
One more time. One last visceral. And that is going to be a 14.
Marlo's armor class is 17.
And just with whiff after whiff after whiff of just like easy dodges from Marlo, Jonathan's just going to drive his pike in the crown and just like, It wasn't supposed to be like this. It was supposed to be so simple. We were supposed to come in and help people, and everything was supposed to be easy and black and white, but it damn it! It was all pointless, huh? There is no way. There is no way I could have done any of this.
Not to be that guy, but are you through yet? Normally this kind of monologue tends to drag on for a while, and it's been a long day, so I'd prefer if we keep this short. Granted, I don't hold any of this against you. This is a very common occurrence. I'm very used to people wanting to try and kill me. So, if you can just get that out of your system and we can be done here...
I really thought I could do something. I really thought... if I couldn't have even defeated you clowns, there is no way I was going to ever defeat him. This is all stupid.
All right. Well, now you're kind of bumming me out a little bit, so... Look, so when you were attacking before, you had all of this righteous, vengeful fury. You, I'm sure, were sworn to uphold some kind of oath and given divine power from on high to carry out your holy crusade and mission, so... you might be feeling a little bit lost right now, a little bit confused. Allow me to just offer a suggestion. Maybe narrow your focus a little bit and be a little more discerning on who you are avenging, what you're vengeful against, and what your definition of greater threats are. Because, as I'm sure you can see, the undead are not that in this town. And as he points out and gestures around, Jonathan will see the remaining demons that are still within the borders of Stratford that have not been instantly nuked by the Hallow spell. There's a small handful of them that are still around, are being taken care of by the joint efforts of the living and the undead. And while there is some squabbling and still some friendly fire, they are working in lockstep with one another. And there's some cheers of victory and some high fives as the fart clouds dissipate.
God damn it.
And in the absence of the threat, peace is beginning to be restored. And there is some jovial celebration happening across the aisles. And while there are some small heated arguments here and there about who bit who, who attacked and broke what rib and whatnot, the general consensus is one of camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you'll excuse me, I have kind of a more important to me conversation I need to be having, so I'll leave you to work out and deal with whatever this is. Bye. And Marlo walks away to rejoin Maledict.
So Jonathan's sitting there. He's gonna look around at this town that he doesn't understand. This affront to nature. None of this makes sense. None of this should make sense. And he's going to see that it works. I mean, there's a little bit of friendly fire. It seemed more out of incompetence rather than any sort of betrayal.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And if anything, that makes it worse. Because it humanizes everybody and that makes it hard. And so he's going to sit there and just say, I can't hold on to the ideals I came in here with. I've learned this situation isn't as black and white as it seems. And that's hard. That gives me a lot of questions. But at the end of the day, Lady De Gonzola, I want to say I'm sorry.
And Gonzo laying down in the grass, staring up at the sky, really struggles to pull herself to sit upright and turns to Jonathan and puts a hand on his shoulder and says, for what it's worth, I know what you've sacrificed and I appreciate what you've done for the people of this town. And you did do what you set out to do. You came here to save the people. Things are strange in this town, but like you've said, the world isn't as black and white as the orders we have left behind make it out to be. It is a complicated and difficult place, and I hope that if you can't be motivated by the fire of that vengeance that you were carrying, that you find something else that you can devote yourself to. She's going to look over to the giant gaping hole in the building on top of where the nest is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the work isn't done yet. We still have a lot to rebuild from, so any help that you can lend. I know from what I overheard, you're not exactly popular amongst the town, but I'm sure they would not turn away any help to put things back up. Do you happen to have any skills in carpentry?
I don't. A lot of my previous work was in real estate, but there's this little guy over here that kind of looks like a fox, but I'm pretty sure he's a man, a grown man. he's got a lot of very good tool working experience, so maybe him and a few of the others, but he looks around to the rest of the town who like send scowls his direction after just the performance he's been giving this whole time.
As long as all of them are willing to make the kind of changes and sacrifices that you've just shown, and are willing to be open-minded and put those grievances aside, I can't exactly afford to be picky right now.
Funny, I said a very similar thing. I think they would be more than happy to help out. It's none of this is their fault. I dragged them into this and, they can't exactly go back to London, so I'm sure they'd be happy to help.
There is still plenty you can do to help us get back up on our feet. And you can start by helping me get back up on my feet and getting me to a bed, because I need to sleep for about 6 years after that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Let me help you up here. And he's going to take her arm over his shoulder and assist walking her back to her house. And as he's doing that and kind of walking her through the town, he's going to look over and see where Marlo and Maledict were standing. And he's going to go, "Hey, you two. So one of my guys got bit by a ghoul. Is anything going to happen to him? Is there any like town policy to kind of go through with that? I don't know. Does he get like a cookie or something?"
"We do have an entire procedure put in place for that. He will be disinfected and compensated for the damages. When you say, does he get a cookie, do you mean metaphorically or literally?
I don't know. During the town hall, a bunch of them were talking about like they would get cookies. And I don't know. I don't understand how the policies work here."
"It varies person to person. It's a situational thing. I always ask to specify because some people do mean it literally. They want a nice baked treat. Others, cookie is just a metaphor for money. It really, this town has all sorts, so it never hurts to be specific."
"Uh-huh. Well, you seem to know this town pretty well, huh?"
"I suppose so. It has changed a bit over the years while I have remained the same, but this town is as much my home as my home, and I have an obligation to know it better. So I'm happy to take point and responsibility on making sure that your men get back up on their feet before they either get the hell out of here or do a whole lot of atoning."
"We will, of course, they'll each make their own decision, but I am on the side of atoning for everything.
Are any of them good at carpentry? Because actually, shockingly, most of the houses are still intact. It's mostly the big one, but we could really use as many hands as possible to rebuild that. The sooner that this building is back up and in place, the sooner that I can go back to skulking around the nest underneath." I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. We can figure all that out later.
"Right, right. But after that, what are the two of you going to do from here?"
"I think that is still to be determined. I need to have a couple of very long and serious conversations with some people that are important to me before deciding anything further."
"Well, before I let you get to that, I want to say sorry. I'm sorry."
"I appreciate and accept your apology."
"After my experience here, it gives me hope about another thing, which I think I'll move forward on that. So, thank you for that."
"If I had more energy and consciousness, I would ask you to elaborate on that, but I am feeling a magnetic pull towards the ground, so..."
"Oh, I forgot I was carrying you. I am so sorry. yes, immediately we will head right to your house. I am so sorry about that."
"So, serious conversations aren't really my style. I suppose I don't have much of a choice in this one, do I?" "No." "All right, that's what I thought. Well, I suppose if we have to get on with it, then where are we at?" "Where we're at right now is a little tricky. I am happy that you found it within yourself to open up a bit more and be more honest and forthcoming with your feelings. I still believe that we both need to do a little work on ourselves before this can continue. So if we were to take a break of sorts, what would you do?" "I have, and as infuriating as it is to say, I have you to thank and blame for this. I have developed a bit more of an appreciation for this town. It was mine once before. I've been secluded from it long enough. So I think I will stick around here, try to reintegrate myself into this society, help with the rebuilding process, take point on a few things, and be better about getting it where it needs to be." "So what I'm hearing is that you are not running away anymore, and that you are dedicating yourself to staying within the safety of this enclosure. As I told the hunter, this town is as much my home
as my home, and it would be wrong of me to abandon it now. This isn't the way that I wanted to hear this, but I'm glad that I'm hearing it. Even if it means we are going our separate ways for the time being, I'm glad you're safe. And what about you? Well, even though it is nice and protected in here, I've never really been one to lay down roots in any one particular place. I will need to come back to the nest every now and again just to get my fix in, but I think I need to stretch my wings, as it were, and get around the English countryside. After all, you've seen the state that it's in, and I'd have to do it for my clients, of course. People need information now more than ever, given... And he's going to gesture to the giant gorillipede Udak still banging against the barrier.
As you look up at this humongous monster, you can see it's still slamming on the barrier, but it's getting a little bored. It's only a matter of time before it wanders off and crushes a neighboring town.
Not that I have all that much affinity for the rest of the English countryside, but I would prefer to still have an English countryside. And given the dire state that everything's in, you don't know them as well as I do, but you've dealt with the idiots that caused this mess, so I'm sure you can agree with me that I can't exactly trust them to fix this on their own, so do you mind if I take the house? And Maledict is going to tighten his grip on the mortar and pestle and look very seriously at Marlowe. I know, but if I do this, then you'll know that at least I'm safe. And if I promise to bring it back, will you still be here when I do? I promise, if you promise, to make it back. I promise I will come back to you. I can't promise it'll be timely. I mean, it's a magical house that I can go gallivanting all around in. Think of all of the opportunity, all of the entertainment, the hijinks, the shenanigans. Could have a whole spin-off or something about that, but... I don't want to hear your deflections. I want to hear you return as a more seriously convicted and better person. I promise you that I will do the same on my end. And perhaps... if we can both work on ourselves and get in to a better state, we can give this another try. I would like that very much. And Maledict very hesitantly hands over the mortar and pestle and says, I mean it. Whatever state you come back in, you'd better come back. And since you will be out gallivanting doing this whole big grand adventure, promise me that you will pick up some more traps along the way. I want that house to be even more labyrinthian and deadly than it was when I left it. And Marlowe, with a smile on his face, says, that I can promise you.
While Marlowe saying that, Jonathan is going to very, like, quietly close Gonzo's door, start walking out, heading to his horse to just, like, I'm going to take this opportunity to leave. Before anyone beats me up anymore.
So Marlowe is going to see Jonathan, and he's going to point and yell, Hey, horseman! I want to beat you up a little bit before you go. Get over
he's
here.
He's going to turn, look at Marlowe, and while looking at him, keep creeping to his horse.
As he gets on his horse and looks away from Marlowe for a second, and then looks back up, Marlowe is standing right in front of him.
Ah! Damn it.
All right, look, if you can do me a huge favor and just play up some of your distress right now, I have a reputation to maintain. I'm not actually going to beat you up. Look, that whole exchange that we had in the forest, we had something. There was some real chemistry there, and therapeutically, you really helped me work through some issues and come to realize a few things. So I would like to keep that train going. Since I promised Maledict that I would become a better person. So I'm going to give you the option to say no. You don't actually have the option to say no. I want you to come with me and do more of that.
You Want me to be your therapist?
Not in those specific words. I would much rather say something like hostage or plaything.
Are you sure you wouldn't rather just beat me up? You could just beat me up and then I can go.
That would be really satisfying, but where would you even go?
He looks around at the town and just humans and undead alike are just sending scowls his way. And he's like, good question. I just know I can't stay here because literally everyone hates me here.
As you say, literally everyone hates me here, Marlo's going to get a twinkle in his eye and say, oh, really?
Oh, no.
You don't say. I'll tell you what. You seem to have really lost a little bit of that, like, magic that made you even remotely threatening while you were here. So...
Yeah, when you look at Jonathan on his horse, he's like half of the man he was when he first walked in. He is just kind of like slumped. And his face, this entire time, you said play up the distress. It is like as hard as his face could grimace has been consistent this whole time. And it is genuine. He is so upset and just like a melted man.
I know a few secrets about magic here and there, so I'm willing to bet that whatever your whole deal is, I can help you get your mojo back. So I'll help you readjust your priorities so that you can maybe get that magic back. If you'll do me the favor, on top of providing just some good banter and a springboard for which I can grow into a better, more mature, more complete person, if in addition to that, you can target and direct that vengeance onto a slightly narrower interpretation of your grand evil that you must vanquish. There's this one vampire specifically. You may have heard of him. His name's Count Dracula.
Wait.
He's been causing all sorts of problems.
Wait.
And
are you telling me you guys aren't in cahoots with him?
Oh, no, not at all. He gives all of vampire kind a bad name, which, I mean, granted, vampires are pretty terrible in general. Any town other than this one, if you stumbled into this exact circumstance, you would have had the right instincts. This is kind of a unique case, but generally speaking, Count Dracula really besmirches a lot of our name and...
Are you kidding? You mean to tell me this whole time... this whole thing could have been avoided. This whole thing could have been avoided. Ah!
Well, you never asked.
I didn't think to. I thought maybe vampires all got together and had midnight brunch or something. I don't know. I don't know how any of this works.
Well, that's where I come in. I can teach you a thing or two about how this whole charade works. I can help you get your mojo back. You can help me become a better person. We'll have this whole buddy cop dynamic that we'll be working off of. And,
wait, but... Huh?
And you will accompany me into my magical house.
Can I not?
I told you before, you really don't have a choice here. So, And then Marlo's going to pull out a burlap sack that he's going to shove over Jonathan's head.
Oh, goddamn!
Now, I know I just told you where I'm taking you, so this whole blindfold thing is really unnecessary, but oh boy, is it satisfying. And then he's going to drag Jonathan kicking and screaming towards the House of Mysteries. Oh, yeah, you want to watch your step. You might slip over the blood of some of your fallen comrades. Overnight, if you're trying to sleep, you'll probably try not to be haunted by the screams of your friends that are probably still falling down an endless bottomless. And as this argument fades out, Maledict looks over and sees Marlowe heading with Jonathan into the house. And he's going to chuckle to himself and nod as Marlowe looks back at him, gives him a knowing nod and smirk, hops up onto the porch, takes the mortar and pestle, and begins to dematerialize the house like its heart is taking off.
We are the outcasts, the misfits you might say. We deal with the nightmares that you run away from every single day. We know the world is a gruesome little place. But us outsiders, we've developed quite a taste for the grisly and morbid, the ghastly and the horrid. We know it's awful, dreadful, but we like it. Just another haunted night, shrouded with unearthly fright. So when you're oh so terrified, you know who to call. The world is falling apart, we'll never take it to heart. So monsters and creatures and spirits and specters and all, let's all have a ball.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark, created and edited by myself, Danger Dan Jurs, with artwork and GMing by this one-shot's host, Jordan Nelson. Special thanks to our patrons, including Gray Fox, Pink Shy Guy, Rusty Halo, Emperor Palpatine, and Mellow Calico. If you want to join our cult and hear your name entered into the pool of credit shoutouts, as well as get access to our fan Discord, bonus mini-campaigns, and one-shots, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for just $5 a month. If you want to help us out in other ways, spread the word to your friends and family, or leave us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. D&D Dark's cast this episode was Kendra Taylor, Ben Magnet, Bailey Figure Eight, Grayson Norman, Aaron Coffold, Daniel Cruz, and myself, Danger Dan Jurs, as Maledict Stonecroft, Marlo Bronte, and Lady Amelia de Gonzola. Our theme song and outro is Let's All Have a Ball by Ryan White Maloney and Tony Carboni, recorded at True North Studios, Las Vegas. Additional music this episode was provided by Adventurers Music Pack. Listen to new episodes Wednesdays, anywhere you find podcasts.
So the day is won, the day is saved.
Thanks to the Powerpuff Girls.
Harlow, Maledict, and Gonzo. And it cuts to Gonzo, she's just passed out in the grass.
It's time to play the music.
Hello and welcome to D&D Dark Presents Muppet Alien. I'm your host and game mother, Daniel Cruz.
It's time to light the light.
Captain Miller, wait for me!
There's no way. It's been 75 years.
There is a way, because that's how long this ship has been missing, according to Weyland-Yutani records.
Check the radar to see what it is that Davis was looking for, and to make sure that it happens. Hi-ya!
You push the button, you hear the rumble of the elevator shaft from the elevator rising. When the door opens, you can see that there has been a firefight in here.
Do we want to take the stairs?
So as long as you didn't roll over a 6, you guys managed to keep it together. Just barely.
So hopefully we're looking for Muppet reviews.
Well, if you're gonna be making comments like that, I'm gonna have to charge you.
You charge me? We are on a mission by Weyland-Yutani. You can't charge me. I'm the one charging you.
Listen. Semantics, alright?
Alright, I've got one question for all of you here. What is happening?
D&D Dark presents Muppet Alien, premiering October 16th, 2024, only on patreon.com/dndarkpodcast.
It's time to...